Okay, they're called time management systems, all right? And there are a lot of those available commercially. It's sort of what you describe. I don't know, I think the biggest problem, the most recent one that I saw was based on one of these ISAM systems, because as you can well be aware on the type of situation that you're talking, which is a sort of a queuing arrangement, you know, I mean, it's an OR queuing arrangement and it's random. You know, I mean, you don't know who's gonna show up looking for what at what time. So you want a very fast retrieval method, and a sequential file isn't going to hack it. The guy's not going to stand there and wait for it to find something out. Second of all, you have to be able to retrieve the record to do the classical things on it, which is to either enter a new one, delete one, or modify one. You know, so, well, the point is you can, all right? But the question is if I don't want to spend a lot of time with the thing. I'll be glad to talk to you afterwards. The limitation is very simple, okay? It's the size of the file, okay? If it's a small operation, you sort of get into that catch-22 that I was talking about. Why not use a card file? It's easier and it's cheaper, okay? If it's big enough to do this, then you have to have the utilities that will allow you to retrieve the name and the record fast enough. And if you're going to do a sequential search, you know, even if it is on a random access device like a floppy disk, if you're going through that file sequentially, it takes longer. Most people won't tolerate standing in front of a tube more than 3 seconds, believe it or not. You know, so that you know, if you have to stand around for 5 seconds, he'll scream and holler. It might take him 10 to dig it out of a file box, but he's busy. So, well, there's somebody over here.
The way that you used on that small business. Mm.
Well, my one of the problems is let's understand the difference. I went through this. I said, boy, if I could only do this with a 67, wouldn't I have something that I could sell, you know? And the problem really is you have problems with the I.O. You don't have enough registers in it. The second thing is that you can't store the internal data very well, just the amount, the number of bits if you want. You can't really store it all. You can do it. It's slow and it's clumsy, and I won't do it, okay? I mean, I've done it. I've taken those algorithms and run them through, and it's just, you know, to me it would be the kind of thing, and I'm used to it, it would be the kind of thing that would aggravate me such that I would not do it. This thing works very, very quickly. Now, I want to point out something. You're talking about $395 programmable calculator, all right? And yesterday, I say this again, yesterday, there is a full-scale system out there now. I don't know when it's going to, I really don't know what the final price is going to be, but they're talking about $500. It's a basic speaking unit all in one with one cassette, and the whole thing stands, you know, in one package, and they say they're going to sell it next summer. That's on the floor out here now. Now, you know, whether they'll make it or it's another one of these things, but somebody's going to make it like that pretty soon. You know, that's inevitable, whether it's this one or some other one. So that the technique for operating with this kind of thing is certainly, you know, feasible without having to wait for the equipment. The equipment's here. That's what I'm saying. With this hobbyist stuff, you don't need a $3,000 system. You can probably do this with, I've seen a couple of systems out there that probably cost at the maximum $1,200. Now, that's a lot for an individual, but it's not a lot for a fairly successful small business. He pays that for other equipment in this office. You know, he buys typewriters, he buys file cabinets, you know. Yes? Well, for instance, if you're talking about accounting functions, okay, unless the volume gets very high, I'd have to say very truthfully that there are well-organized manual systems. Small business people are notorious for not using these either, and that's one of the things that bothers me about trying to get somebody that won't use a carbon form system, because it involves a pegboard and registering one card over another, you see, and you're going to turn over a computer to this guy and expect him to keep the records up to date. So I just don't see that, but I do think that it's a function really of the price of the equipment, okay? If the guy is estimating he may have a $100,000 two-man machine shop and be able to make very effective use of $700, you know, basically programmable little standalone minicomputer, there's no reason. The economics, look, he goes out and he spends you know, I don't know what they cost now, but he has to spend in excess of $5,000 for a Bridgeport milling machine, for instance. So he's used to dealing with equipment. It's a tool. It should be thought of. I probably should have said this, but he should think of this kind of thing as being nothing more than any other kind of tool, like a typewriter or anything. If he doesn't need a typewriter and he can do it by hand, then that's what he should do. But if he writes letters, he's going to need a typewriter. And in which case, then he's probably going to make effective use of it. But there's nothing, the average businessman, I always tell him, forget it. You know, call it anything else you want. Call it a programmable calculator if you want. Just don't get sucked in by the mystique of the computer. Yes? Well, that was done on really three pieces of equipment, okay? It was originally done first the application of that type of application was developed first on time-sharing equipment. And the reason why we went into the hobby thing, or what led us into it, is because it was done in standard Dartmouth Basic. So when these things came along and we were able to do it, we put it up on a MITS, and we're probably going to put it up on two or three others now. But we just converted the program to be able to run on Altair, because that's what was available at the time. I'm not sure that would be the first choice now. Well, MUMS is something that's been around for a while. Okay, I don't know what the implementation, but MUMS was done when it was first set up, was done on a very large computer, and by and large now operates still on very large digital computers. It's not the kind of thing a small businessman would fool around with. It. Yeah, that's an interactive database language, and it requires lots and lots of hardware. I mean, it's just, you know, that's sort of. I guess the way I would describe that, when I was talking about a sequential file handler in a very crude manner, is the type of approach that you would take with the small business. That's a very sophisticated, MUMS is a very sophisticated system, and is in use mostly by hospitals. It was developed originally for medical record retrieval and is used by a lot of very large hospitals that in some cases have two or three computers, and they do it to keep track of medical records. A very complicated system, you know, hundreds, you know, I really don't know what the thing, but they're hundred thousands of dollars systems rather than one thousands of dollars worth of systems. Back.
You mentioned sitting here at $1,200 for hardware. Yep. Is it pretty possible to get a commercial grade hard copy terminal for $1,000?
Yeah, you can't. I mean, that was one of the things I was talking about. But I repeat, just walk around on the floor and take a look at what you can do in a system like this, okay? Using a video monitor, there's no reason why you have to have a hard copy for a system like that. You're looking for a price. You know, it's either $2 or $2.22. I mean, you really, you don't need the record. You can write it down in a notebook as well and save yourself $3,000 or, you know, whatever it's going to cost you for a Centronics or a Selectric, which is $1,200 or something, $1,200 or $1,300 to interface with a typewriter, a Selectric typewriter, which would probably be good enough for most of these applications. As a matter of fact, the printer that a couple of the printers that I've seen around here, I'm not a hardware guy. I frankly know more about it than I want to know. But one of the things I've seen is I guess it really comes out of the head of these cash registers, and it's a 40-column alphanumeric printer that you can buy for $300 or $400, and it's slow and it's crude, and it'll print it on 4-inch wide adding machine tape. But who cares? I mean, you really don't need 132 columns. You have 132-column high-speed printer, you end up like I showed you in the slide. You know, you got green. It's like the Sorcerer's Apprentice. You know the famous story. You know, instead of water, it's green bar paper, and it's all over the place. Yes.
The businesses you mentioned were the contracting and manufacturing business.
Yeah. Well, I would say there's the classic example of an inventory system where you have to have retrieval times, you have to have the ability to do that. It's no different. I mean, the part of the talk that I was talking about in the utilities, the key part about utilizing it in a system like that is being able to get decent retrieval, having a file set up that's a decent retrieval time. Now, I don't know how many items. A classic example, if you're talking about, if you're talking a couple of thousand items, it's probably feasible. If you're talking, like people keep saying, boy, could I do a great job if I could computerize the corner drugstore? And it turns out the corner drugstore carries something like 20,000 items, you know? And in fact, what really happens when you look at this, there is a thing called Pareto's Law. Pareto's Law is what a lot of people know as the 80-20 rule, and there really is a scientific law which says, you know, 80% of your activity will come on 20% of your items. And that in reality, even if you were setting it up on a computer or on a manual method, you have one group of very active items, okay, which is about, you know, 80% of the dollar volume and 20% of the items, okay? And if this is no different than anything else, I'd bet on it. And then on the other side, what you have is you've got the other 80% of the items that don't move, but you have to have them to be in the business. So what happens is that you really could operate a very small system on the active items, keep the other ones manual. There's no reason to make the stupid thing all-encompassing, because the incremental costs of doing this, you know, which is what people do a lot of times, is they computerize everything and drive the cost up by a factor of 10 to encompass the last 5 or 10% of their task, okay? In reality, they're probably better off doing 80% of the task and cutting the cost to about 1/10. Clearly, that's the message for small business. You really have to know what you want to do. You know, the businessman has to have some idea of what he wants to do, not just that he wants to fool around with a computer. If he does, good luck to him. That's a game then, and that's strictly, you know, that's in my category as sort of my own dream, which I can't afford, which is an airplane. See, I have no real excuse for it, but, you know, if I had it, I could depreciate it and I could fool around with it. And I think a lot of times, you know. Yes. Well, I'd be glad afterwards to tell you. First of all, for that kind of thing, he's better off going to commercial systems, because not only will they have a piece of hardware for him, they'll have an applications program. They'll have some kind of a general inventory program, which if he really, you know, he can either modify it or do it again. I would say the same thing. Chances are he doesn't really have to modify all those files, and he can separate it into two jobs so that he doesn't have to keep them all online all the time. He can keep different packs, different disk packs with some of the more active or less active stuff, and then he can still do it every 3 months, but he doesn't need to keep it online. So maybe he doesn't need 5 megabytes. Maybe he only needs 1 or 2, okay? You know, which may mean he might be on the verge of being able to get by with a big floppy system instead of a very heavy disk system. If it's a describable task that doesn't grow all the time, it's going to grow hard disk and be done with it, you know, for the time being. But in reality, there are commercial systems for that, not this kind of equipment. That's really, you know.
Are there any obvious
I've heard a lot. I don't see any out there. Okay. That's a good rule. Whatever's here is here, from what I've seen. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
You mentioned a $500.
Yeah, that's what the. Yeah. It's in the, I guess yesterday afternoon, I'm afraid the guy's never going to forgive me if this whole mob goes out there to jump on, but it was under the Mr. Calculator booth. I don't know if it's here today. The guy brought it in under his arm and said he was going to Hanover Trade Fair in Germany. So, yeah. Neat little thing. I was just overwhelmed. I've been looking for that thing for 2 years. Thank you very much.
Is on. All right. Before I start, I'd like to ask to see how many people out here actually own a computer or plan to purchase one in the near future. And how many people have business applications up on it? and how many people have business applications that are there, that they're using. That they're using. Big difference. Okay, my name is Bob Bartlow, and I work with a company called Microbyte, and we are producing software to run on microcomputers. I hesitate to build them as hobbyist microcomputers. We're looking at microprocessors and microprocessor-based computers as an entire spectrum. Okay, the hobbyist is the low end of the market, the hobbyist systems are. One of the areas, and when you read in the magazines, in the hobbyist magazines, well, what do you do with it, that they are talking about, are the accounting systems. Okay, we've experienced a great deal of interest from businessmen calling up and asking for accounting systems because they've heard about the micros and the cheap computers and they want them. Okay, unfortunately, they can't find them, okay, because if you've been really looking at it, you know that there's nobody out there hustling the streets besides like Univac with their BC7 and Xerox with their system, which are both 8080 based systems that have the application software. Okay? It's not there really for MSI. Okay, now some businessmen have gone out anyway and purchased systems. For instance, we got a call recently from a gentleman that someone had sold him 3 teletypes, a modem, a S100 bus computer, 16K of memory, and then after he bought all this hardware, he went out looking for software. Okay? And in addition, his mass storage was audio cassette. So, you know, he's not going to find it, okay? What we find with a typical businessman is he's not a computer freak, okay? He's not an individual that really wants to program his computer. He wants function, okay? He wants it to do a job for him, okay? He is really not interested in seeing the flashing lights, and on our systems, there are no flashing lights, okay? The system must at a minimum, accurately perform some useful work for the end user. Hopefully, the system will be easy to use and reliable. And I agree that with a hobbyist hardware, there is a reliability problem at this point. Okay? When the user yanks the power cord out of the wall in the middle of processing, or he spills coffee all over sloppy disks, the system should be able to recover with a minimum amount of user interaction. The user should not have to go into the system and agonize, such as with a large corporation, they have system analysts sitting around always behind in their projects, and the reason why they're behind is because they have to go in and firefight and patch these big systems. Okay, well, the small user does not want that. Okay, could I get the first slide, please? Okay, these are the functions that we have seen the most demand for. Not necessarily with everybody having all of them, but depending on the business, they may have a need for accounts receivable, whereas they don't have it for accounts payable. And they certainly don't have it for payroll because they've got 3 employees and the bank will do it for $2 a week or whatever the banks are charging to do the payroll. Okay, now the minimum hardware that we would consider for these systems would be a microcomputer of some sort. Okay, be it MSI or be it Xerox or the Univac system, some sort of microcomputer because that's the low end of hardware cost in the computers. A printer. They want hard copy reports. Okay, the printer optimally should be more than the 80 column printers that you see. Okay, when you see a report that all the fields are scrunched up to fit into 80 columns, it's not readable. Okay, ordinarily they'll need a keyboard of some sort to enter data into the system, and they're going to need some kind of mass storage for their files. Okay, can I have the second slide, please? These 3 systems sort of cover the range, okay, and cost of what is available in the lower end of 8080-based computers. Now, I'm not necessarily prejudiced for or against 8080, but it's the most common. So you can draw your conclusions on 8080 and not go to Z80 or 6800 or 67 or whatever. Okay, the top system is a tape-based system, and it is a hobbyist computer. Okay, with 26K random access memory, it has a keyboard, with a 10-key numeric pad. It's got a smaller video display than you'll find on your commercial CRTs. It has up to 1.5 megabytes of digital cassette mass storage. Okay, that is not direct access mass storage, but it is a sizable amount of storage, and with 120 character per second matrix printer. Now these prices that I'm quoting are quantity one prices, and they are assembled prices. They're not kit prices. Again, if the gentleman doesn't want to program, he sure doesn't want to learn how to solder to put the system together. Okay. Yeah. Pardon me? No, I'll go into how that monthly cost figure was derived. Okay. Second system is a floppy disk-based system, again, 8080-based computer, a little bit more random access memory, a CRT, much less mass storage, but it's floppy disk and you have the added feature of having direct access to your files. Okay, and a 30 character per second matrix printer. That system is about 8,500, quantity one, assembled. The third system is a rigid disk-based system. Again, 8080 with 32K RAM, with a regular CRT, 24 by 80, 5 megabytes cartridge disk mass storage, 60 character per second matrix printer. That hardware can be purchased in quantity one for $14,500. They dual floppy disks, they are dual floppy disks. Okay. Now, I'm not attempting to represent this information as being that's everything that's out there. Obviously, there are other floppy disks that are around that have higher capacities than the 512. You can get double density floppy disks. Okay, the monthly cost on this equipment that you see up there was calculated assuming a 5-year lease. Now, nothing guarantees that you can get a 5-year lease on them, but just in the industry, a 5-year lease on 2.4% per month. And included on top of that was 0.8% per month for maintenance costs. And that yields the monthly costs. Okay, the reason why the monthly cost is shown there is to get some sort of idea of what size of a business can purchase the hardware. A rough idea. Okay, the specific, we're going to relate it to sales levels. The specific percentage of sales that a company will spend on DP equipment depends on the company and on the industry and the size of the specific company. Okay. The industry statistics indicate that the company on average pays the equivalent of 1.5% of sales for data processing hardware. Okay. Again, I say that that is not necessarily specific to very small businesses. It may be more that they would have to pay. But using those 1.5% figures, we can arrive at the total annual sales figure that a company would have to have at minimum to justify a system on that basis. The tape-based system would require $80,000 in annual sales, which is a very small company. The floppy disk-based system would require around $220,000 based on those costs. The rigid disk-based system, about $320,000 based on those costs. Okay. Now, what are the programs that we mentioned before, the accounting programs, supposed to do? What are some of their functions? I have the next slide. Okay. This is the minimum processing required for these functions. Many times the systems will do more than those functions, but I would consider this probably the minimum. General ledger, you have to have a file. You have to be able to establish the file. You have to be able to access the file and post transactions and analyze your ledger accounts. In accounts receivable, again, you're dealing with a file. You have to record transactions, bill customers, process payments, and provide reports. Payables, again, you're dealing with a file and you're processing your incoming invoices and providing reports. Payroll, again, a file, calculating your gross earnings, deductions, and net earnings, and providing reports. Pardon me? I don't consider that a minimum to have a payroll system. It's nice. But a lot of people would prefer to hand prepare their checks, but it certainly can go into a payroll system. Okay, in addition to the actual function that the system is performing, the program must communicate with the user and manipulate the files. Okay, now this area, the communication with the user and manipulation of the files, is probably far more complex than actually doing the processing. Can I have the next slide, please? This slide is just designed to show you which way the information is going in the system. Your files can be from 1 to N. Okay, now that's normally on your mass storage. The most heavily used peripheral in the system is the mass storage device. Okay, it holds the files, you're constantly accessing it, pulling stuff into memory and putting it back out. Okay, now in an ideal situation, if we lived in an ideal world, the businessman would have everything online and the computer would anticipate everything he was going to request and it wouldn't cost him anything. But we live in somewhat less of an ideal world. Okay, now depending on the file capacity, for instance, on the floppies with 512K bytes, what you're going to do is have to spread your files over multiple diskettes. Now that causes the end user, the operator, to be plugging floppies in and out, okay, which can get out of hand depending on size. If you've got very big files, it can get out of hand. Okay, one way for the smaller operations that you can minimize this is in your programming and in your system design. Okay, you can use data compaction techniques to pack more data in the same physical space than otherwise would be possible. This has the added advantage of increasing the effective transfer rate between mass storage and the processor. Okay, the capability to optimize system resources such as memory, processor time, and disk transfer rate will influence the choice of the implementation language, whatever language you're going to use to implement the system. Two most commonly available language translators for the micros, particularly at the hobbyist level, are basic interpreters and assemblers. And before I go on, how many people in here have programmed? How many people have programmed an assembler? Okay. Basic has an advantage in being easier to learn. Okay, and each instruction in BASIC obviously generates multiple machine instructions. While generally in assembly language, you're operating on a one-for-one basis. Okay, there's a tendency to use BASIC in applications that are be used by just a very few users, or which will be infrequently run. An assembly language or compiler language program will usually execute more quickly and can allow much more data compaction possibilities than BASIC. In complex programming systems, such as the accounting and such as the accounting programs, where you do have all the systems interrelating, you're talking in systems development, the actual time spent coding is 10 to 20%. The rest of the time is spent in system design, documentation, and testing. Okay, the cost of increased coding time, if, for instance, for implementing it in assembly language, must be weighed against increased storage utilization execution speed when selecting a language for implementing the system. It's an economic, basically just an economic trade-off on what you're going to be doing. Okay, can I have number 6, please? Okay, this compares BASIC versus assembly type languages in two areas. Okay. It's execution speed and data storage requirements. Execution speeds may be fast enough in many instances to where it's not a major concern in your system. Okay, the execution speed gains are important mostly when the slower speed, which causes a significant decrease in data transfer from the peripherals. If you're rolling stuff in and off the disk and doing processing, and the language that you use to implement your system takes too long to where the head will unload, If you unload the head or miss the next sector around, you can seriously slow the system down. Okay, these four examples are based on a typical micro hobbyist micro BASIC, okay? And I will admit that hobbyist micro basics are not the best, okay? The figures are in seconds, and they were for 1,000, okay? 1,000 iterations, okay? This shows that the assembler can actually execute considerably faster, 30 to 200 times faster, depending on the operation, than you can do it in BASIC. Okay. In the last representation where you have the A is equal to A plus B, okay, the time is calculated using a fixed point numeric representation, which is not available in any BASIC that I'm aware of at this point. Okay, in this representation, a decimal number is stored as a binary integer with an implied decimal point to the left of the third digit. Okay, this format avoids accuracy losses due to round-off error, which are found in floating point representations. And using some of the available basics, significant round-off errors begin to appear in numbers as low as $4,000. That's existing products that are out on the market. In addition to the increased accuracy available using assembly language, significant data compaction of both numbers and strings is also possible. Okay, could I have the next slide, please? Okay, the following compares data storage requirements using a typical BASIC versus an assembly language technique. Again, in decimal numbers, a fixed point binary representation is shown. Character strings are in packed ASCII format. You can see that by avoiding using BASIC, you can save a considerable amount of storage, perhaps even as much as overall in all your data files, 50%. Now, if you save 50% of your file size, what you have effectively done is doubled your available disk space and also doubled your effective data transfer rate between the disk and the processor. Okay. Okay, what I've shown is not intended to be a comprehensive analysis of an interpretive language and assembly language. Okay, it's just selected features to point out what can be done in the different languages. Okay, and where you can, with the smaller systems and the problems with the smaller systems, where you can realize significant system improvements. Okay, the decision of which language to actually use to implement the system is going to be dependent on the characteristics of the language in questions, and it's an economic decision. How much is it going to cost? Okay, that's the end of that slide. Okay, so now we get down to what's available today for the small businessman. Okay, software development costs have not significantly decreased. In many respects, if you try to develop software on the micros, they're higher. You don't have the system routines. You have to go out and reinvent the wheel. You don't have the development support languages that you have on the bigger machines. Okay, so to develop the software, you're developing new software. Your costs are going to be the same that they would be if you were developing them for the first time or higher on a regular machine. Okay, in the marketplace, it's obvious that inexpensive hardware is being sold. Okay, but you run into a problem that programs written on one machine are not going to run on another. Okay, the basics that are available are not necessarily compatible even amongst themselves. You can take a program written in one computer's BASIC and it won't run on somebody else's BASIC. You can take a business application program that's written in BASIC that was running on, for instance, a Wang that they convert to run on a small micro. And you find out that the math capabilities of the BASIC, the only BASIC that's available for your configuration, will not handle it. So you've got these great programs and you can't run them. Okay, when you can find the programs, you'll find that they are expensive and or they're inadequate. Okay, there's yet to be any hardware interface standards industry-wide, which complicates the problem for any software house writing software for the systems. You have to select a particular configuration to write your software for. Okay, now how do you know if they're going to be in business next week? And what percentage of the market of the existing hardware that's out there does that particular configuration constitute? You don't want to support software packages for 57,000 different configurations because you'll go broke. Okay, so there's several options open to a prospective end user. One is buy the hardware and write your own programs. Okay, I don't see that as the majority of the prospective end users. Second, today, is you can buy the hardware and get a book of canned programs and hope they run. Okay, hope they work, hope they run on your hardware, and that your basic interpreter is capable of running the programs. A third choice would be find an OEM type or a software house which has available the programs you want. Buy the complete system from them or buy hardware to their specs and buy only their software. And the fourth is wait. Okay? Are there any questions? Yeah? EM&M produces a 8080 based system. It's not an 8080 chip. It's microprogrammed. It runs the 8080 instruction set. It's packaged with a 5 megabyte disk.
How much?
$14,500 for the complete system.
Straight edge, you did that on the screen.
Right.